What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South, Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense, Colt-centric, talking about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Do it big, like lines for an offense. Colt-centric, don't take offense.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Tonight, we're going to look through a little bit of the Colts positional groups. It's just a thing that continually kind of weighs on my mind a little bit as we get ready for the NFL draft. There's so many things when we look at different areas, different positional groups of the Colts where we kind of, you know, this is the need, this is a need, this is the biggest need for the Colts right now. This, you know, just back and forth. We continue to go back and forth all the time. And I kind of wanted to go through these with you guys because there are some things that maybe are a little underlying issues that we may not perceive as to be great needs right now, but there are some needs throughout this roster. Obviously, that's you know, that's not even debatable. So let's get right into it. Kind of a short show tonight, maybe 15, 20 minutes, maybe a little bit longer. Depends on how long I last as far as, you know, how long-winded I am, but just looking through some of the roster situation that the Colts have, you know, I wanted to get this out a little bit. It's nothing groundbreaking or anything like that. But look at the let's just start where the Colts are at, quarterback room. The Colts are in pretty good shape in the quarterback room. Am I right? I mean, they've got Luck. We perceive him to be back. Jacoby Brissett, lots of experience last year. We expect him to be capable. They've got Brad Kaye in the room as well, kind of a, you know, a last-ditch effort type guy. I don't know that he even makes a roster or a practice squad next year. He might. I don't know. It just depends on how, you know, he's got to come alive and he's got to be good. Andrew or Philip Walker, I don't see much of anything from him. I didn't like him last year as far as, you know, everybody was ranting and raving about him. But, I mean, he's capable, I suppose, in some aspects, just when it comes to actually being a drop back passer, being able to throw on time and, you know, with accuracy, he's just not the guy. And I don't know that he'll make much of anything. I think that the Colts will have another quarterback in there, and I don't think probably the Kaye or Walker will be in on the roster next year. I mean, they might, but I don't see it that way. Let's look at the center position now. Also, Anthony Fabiano, who filled in last year a little bit, he did pretty decent. Mike Person, he did pretty good too. He's just not on the roster right now, but that's another thought process to think about. They've got a guy kind of in their hip pocket that they would go after if they needed one. But Ryan Kelly started his rookie year, did really well last year, was out with some injuries, came back, didn't get quite the love from Pro Football Focus and stuff like that. But because there's just, I mean, outside of just saying he played well, it's really pretty difficult to, with the available metrics and stuff that we've got just as fans, to see, you know, how well he actually played. I thought he played pretty well, but the injury thing, should that make us worried? They've got Slauson right now listed as both a guard and a center. Fabiano's there. I think they've got enough depth to make it. I don't think that's too much of an issue, but I, on one hand, wouldn't be surprised if they end up liking a Billy Price or you know, another guy who can play center there, Ragnow, for that matter. I think he's one of the guys that they talk about that can play both guard and center as well. Do they draft a guy like that? Maybe. I think most guards in the NFL have or can play center. I don't think that that's too much of a positional switch, too drastic of a position. Not like a center going out to play tackle or anything like that. But they have to have had some sort of past experience with it. But right now, I'd say, you know, the Colts are in pretty good shape at center. Now, looking at the guard situation, this is another story as it stands on its own. Deshaun Bond, Mark Glowinski, Jeremy Vunovich, Isaiah Williams. We've also, you know, re-signed Muhort. So, you know, the Colts have some depth there. They also, like I said, they also have Slauson, so that's not a big issue with him. But they don't really have, you know, too many guys that are, I mean, look, Vunovich got a lot of experience last year. Maybe does that help him as a backup? Yeah, I think that's okay, you know, to have him as a backup. The problem is he's probably going to play, you know, so that's the kind of the issue that I am struggling with, you know, when it comes to that. But they've got a lot of these guys kind of marked as tackles, guards. They don't even really know where, looking at the tackle guard situation where they've got guys that can go back and forth is Denzel Good, Joe Haig, and Jack Muhort. I don't think that they want Jack Muhort playing on the outside, on the edge. I just don't. I don't think that they want him as a tackle. They need him as a guard. So as we're looking at this entire group, do we think that they – look, Bond, he played really well last year for the time that he was able to get in there. I mean, way better than anybody else, than any of us thought that he would play, no doubt. It wasn't great. He wasn't great, but he filled in pretty damn well. We don't know anything about Glinski. Vunovic is terrible. But like I said, as a backup with all that experience he got last year, he's only a second-year player. Maybe that's, you know, something that the Colts find. They've liked him enough to start him, you know. And even after he played pretty bad, they kind of hung on to him there. They didn't really have a lot of options. Isaiah Williams, we don't know a lot about him either. So thinking about Slauson probably and Muhort right now, as the starting guards, and then maybe Haig as the tackle out there right now. That's not a great interior. We are glad to have Muhort back, though. I mean, Muhort re-signs, prove it deal. He's probably, you know, depending on what the Colts do at guard or tackle, as far as in the draft, the Colts are going to have a lot of decisions to make. As far as, you know, who are these guys to get rid of? I think there's going to be a few offensive linemen that they get rid of early in the offseason training situations, OTAs, all that stuff. I think there's going to be several come in and out just trying to fill in the back of that roster. But, for example, if the Colts go after a guy like Quentin Nelson at number 6, you know, that's no longer Muhort and Slauson starting. That's Nelson and maybe Muhort or Slauson starting. So they've got that to look forward to. Even if it's Isaiah Wynn, Hernandez, any of those guys are going to be guards starting, coming in. They're going to earn it, but they're going to be expected to start, right? So I think offensive line-wise, the Colts have some work to do. It's not as bad as it seems, in my opinion, because they've got some of the tackle. I mean, Anthony Costanzo's been extremely healthy. They can't count on that, right? LaRaven Clark, he has not proven his worth. We don't know anything about Tyreek Burwell. You know, even Denzel Good, he hasn't proven that he's there. Haig, he's been okay. He's been serviceable, obviously. He's been able to move back and forth. Muhort's another guy that, you know, is really good when he's healthy. He's got to be healthy, though. So offensive line-wise, the Colts do have some work. It's not terrible. I was very much a big believer in this line, even when with Good and Clark and those guys, you know, being in the mix actually as starters at one point. And I don't necessarily go back on that or feel bad about that. They just didn't live up to what their expectations should have been. They didn't follow through with the coaching that they were getting. Granted, you know, we can complain about the coaching staff and all that, but Philbin's a good offensive line coach. He's a hell of an offensive coordinator, apparently, at least in Green Bay he was. I think that we have to kind of look at, there was just simply a lack of talent, right? Or a bad combination of talent and coaching. Those, some way or another, those weren't mixing well. So as far as talent-wise, I think the Colts are in a solid position right now. They're going to need to get somebody, tackle or guard, maybe both, out of this draft. Now, if they get both out of this draft, I think they considerably upgrade their offensive line. Like I said, Wynn, Hernandez, or Nelson, they get any of those three in the first couple rounds, that's a win. They go after a guard, maybe a Tyrell Crosby in the second, third round, something like that. I know that we need a lot of defensive help, but look, this isn't all going to happen in one draft. You have to understand that. So whatever Chris Ballard ends up doing, it's going to be to benefit long-term situation at whatever position he drafts at, okay? So offensive line, I'm getting off on two sideways here a couple little bit, but they're okay. They're not great. You know, obviously they need some work. They need to be able to protect Luck. They need to be good in the running game because there is going to be a running game in this, guys. There's going to be a new running game, a new offensive system, a new line shift, a new everything. There's going to be a lot to what the offensive line is learning, a lot of new stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all kind of works itself out. Now let's go to the skill positions. Let's go to running back. I think that the Colts, they've got potential at the running backs. I'm not high on Ferguson, never have been. I think he's got potential. I don't know how much. I don't think he's got an extremely high ceiling or anything like that. Matt Jones, kind of the same way I feel about him. He got the ball a little bit last year. They apparently really like him, but he just, 2.8 yards a run there in the last couple games when he was actually getting some carries, I think. It wasn't, and don't quote me on that. I'm just going off pure memory there. So I'm not stoked about Matt Jones. I think that he's capable. I think he's a big boy. I think he can give the Colts those short yardage third down runs, possibly similar to, you know, what they had, you know, last year with Turbin. But Turbin's not quite that big. Turbin is very good third down back. Excuse me. But they've got Michael or Christine Michael. Like I said, Robert Turbin, George Wynn. They've got some running backs back there. They're going to draft a running back. That's going to leave Marlon Mack to be the guy to beat out, ultimately, because he is, in our heads. I hate prefacing everything with, but there's going to be a competition. Of course there's going to be competition. But Marlon Mack is a specialized back right now. In the preseason last year, he showed us he could hit the hole. He could make a guy miss in a big enough hole. And that was exciting because we're looking forward, we're seeing his shiftiness in between tackles. And that is what ultimately is going to make a running back a really good running back. That's what makes LeSean McCoy so damn good, is he's not a huge dude. He can definitely kick it outside and go and take it for the long run, but he also can run between the tackles for the most part. And that's what we need out of Marlon Mack. He's bigger. I think that he's probably faster in that regard, but the Colts really need a supplementary back, a complementary back rather, to help Marlon Mack kind of work themselves into a 1-2 punch, and not a predictable one either, where whoever the Colts get, let's say it's Nick Chubb, to run on first and second down and use Marlon Mack squarely on thirds. They've got to be able to intermix these guys. They've got to be able to change pace when they want, not when they're forced to. Third down stuff is so predictable last year. The Colts were awful at it. And this is something that the Colts desperately need in their backfield that can help. I don't think that a lot of people give that as much credence as it deserves. The running back has to be able to do it all. Pass protect, catch, run. Block, run block even for that matter at times. You've got to have two guys, though, that can do that. If you can have at least two guys can do that, anybody else you can work in just on spell downs, that's just a plus. So the running back position, I'd say the running back position right now is a C-. Okay. Just because we've got Robert Turbin. What is he going to do? Is he going to come back? Is he going to be okay? Are they really going to use him or keep him? We don't know. But outside of Turbin, as far as the rest of the guys, Ferguson, Jones, Michael, and Wynn. It's almost a D, right? Marlon Mack might be the only thing keeping it up in the C range. Am I right? So running back's definite. Colts have to draft a running back. I don't think there's any question about it. And, I don't know that I actually said that about the offensive line, but one way or another, they have to draft an offensive lineman this year. And they've got to draft a good one, I think. I don't think you can take chances with fourth and fifth round guys. You can get those guys. Some of them get become successful. A lot of them actually become successful that are late round guy or mid round guys or whatever. But they've got to draft one. They've got to draft one that's capable, has got the size, and has got the lateral agility and the ability to stymie pass rushers. That is, penultimate right now. So let's look at the wide receivers. This is kind of a fun group, and I'll tell you why here in a second. The Dre's Anderson, we don't know a lot about him, but he's got height. He's got some speed. He's young. KJ Brent, same thing. 6'3", 200, 24 years old. Ryan Grant, we don't know much about him. 6 foot, though, 204, out of Tulane. I think he's got some potential. It was one of the free agency signings, and I just don't see him being a major role player. I think that he's a lot of what the Colts have in Chester Rogers, but I think Chester's better. The one thing about Grant is he's a little heavier, and I think he's a little more durable in that sense, big picture-wise, not like recently. But even looking at Chester Rogers, you know, he was out most of the season last year. So, but let's look at the rest of these guys. T.Y. obviously, but 5'9", 180 pounds. Krishan Hogan, really like him. I think that he has a legit chance to be what the Colts wanted from Dante Moncrief. I really, truly do. He's got the size. He's got great speed at 220. He's a massive dude. Okay. He's not a, people are going to talk about him as if he's a possible tight end type guy. He's a wide receiver. I mean, you guys haven't, if you have watched him play, you understand this guy's got speed. I think he needs to clean up his routes and stuff like that just because of from a low type college. I don't think that he got a ton of great route training there, but I think that some of that's going to come. Shontavius Jones, another guy, 6'3", 200. Justice Liggins, 6'1", 210. Colby Listonby from TCU. He's the interesting one that I was kind of alluding to earlier. He was kind of talked about quite a bit coming out of college as a big play type guy. He's still got some of that. The Colts picked him up, I think, late last year as a signing. He's got some potential. He's only 24. He's got the length and the height. He's just a little slight, 183 pounds. So, and he's about built just like Chester Rogers almost. So you've got two guys there, DeAndre Smelter and James Wright. I don't know anything about them. However, Smelter's similar build and size to like a Krishan Hogan. Wide receiver wise, not a lot of big names there, guys. Okay. I don't see, and I think this is a good year for the Colts to not have a great wide receiver class to choose from. There's some guys who can play that are going to be in the third, fourth, fifth rounds of this draft that the Colts can go after. I don't want the Colts to waste a first 2 day pick. Leave that in day three for the wide receivers. I just don't see that as that big of a need. They do need a wide receiver because right now everybody's only considering that T.Y. Hilton, Ryan Grant, and Chester Rogers had any experience last year. That's true, but you've got Krishan Hogan who had experience, got hurt. If he's as long as he's not like just super injury prone, I think that you have a lot to look forward to with him. I think that you look at KJ Brent. He's a guy that people are kind of just passing on, and I don't think they should. He's a quality receiver. So I think that they've got some guys that they could live with only drafting like a mid to late round guy. I think that this wide receiver crew can do as much as Andrew Luck can let them do. I think that they've got enough hands on this receiver core to be okay for a year. I truly do. I don't see that as a need. I wouldn't even care if the Colts waited until seventh round. I wouldn't care if the current way that or the current amount of draft picks that the Colts have, if they just chose not to draft a wide receiver. Hey, call me stupid on that. That's fine. But they got a ton of receivers. There's a lot of height in there that people aren't counting on. And I think that they've got some opportunities there to really be a pretty solid team. So I don't see wide receivers as a need. I have no problem with the Colts bypassing it. Let's get to the defense here. Before we do, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back. We're going to talk about the Colts' needs on defense, see kind of how they're shaping up. We know that this is a problem area for a lot of different positions. But, again, let's dive in and talk about how much they really need and who really is going to earn this draft pick. So we'll be right back on the Colts Cast here in just a moment. Welcome back, folks. Let's get into the cornerbacks, okay? Colts just signed Kenneth Acker, 6 foot, 195 at SMU. He's a guy who had, what, I think in 2015 had like 65, 66, I'm going to double check, 63 tackles in 2015. And I think that a lot of what he did was earned. I think that, and the Colts haven't had a tackler like that in on the edge anyways, as far as in the corner position, since really Greg Toler. We don't give him a lot of credit for his coverage because he was awful, but he was a guy who would mix it up in the running game, right? So they've got that. I think that's something you look forward to. Pierre Desir proved last year that he was a guy who liked to mix it up as well. He was a physical dude. 6'2", 200 pounds, give or take. Nate Hairston, he's another guy. We need another number one corner opposite Quincy Wilson. What do they actually plan to do with Nate Hairston? He did play last year in the slot, almost exclusively. However, in training camp, they had him on the outside a lot. Okay? That doesn't necessarily mean anything, but that proves that they at least wanted to try him out there. I think he did pretty good in training camp, if memory serves me right. So I think that we don't really know what they plan to do with Nate Hairston yet. I think that matters not so much whether the Colts get a cornerback out of this draft, because I think they're going to most definitely. Rather, I think that it might have an effect on which corner they go after. Are they going after a slot guy, or are they going to go after a number two or a number one out on the outside? I think that probably what you try to do most of the time is try to get a guy that can, that you think can play outside, that if it all falls apart out there for some reason, you try him in the slot. Those are really two different positions. I mean, they really are. And slot corners don't have like a, I mean, there's not like because he's tall or small, because he's fast or slow. That is a position that requires a lot of feel, a lot of instincts to be able to play in the running game. Hairston had a couple sacks last year because they used him as a pass rusher a couple times. He had probably several hurries. And I think he had somewhere around 10 or 12 passes defensed as well. So he was a busy dude out of the slot. I mean, a lot of that sifting through the trash on crossing routes, I mean, a lot of that stuff is like feel, like I said, instinct. I think Nate Hairston did pretty well last year. People saw a couple games in the end of the year last year, and they said he was pretty bad. And I'm like, well, then you haven't been watching the rest of the year. He's been one of the better corners for the Colts. But the question remains, where does he play? If the Colts like him as their starter and nickel, That's great. I have no problem with that at all. The only problem with that is we really don't, at the moment, have, I don't think, a number two outside corner, number one outside of Quincy Wilson. So we've got Quincy Wilson. They've got guys like Chris Milton, Kenny Moore, DJ White also in the room. DJ White is a guy who interests me because he was brought in as another guy who's physical, who Bauer is familiar with, who's not really all that tall, but a guy who goes after the ball. They like the way he plays. He was in Kansas City. The Colts claimed him last year, and I think this is what he's been doing. He's been trying to acquire quality depth because when they get a playmaker or two in any position, that's the idea. You get the playmaker, puts that position over the top. You've got the depth now behind them to be a solid group, even if you don't have another standout there. I think the Colts go for a number one here. I mean, there's some really good corners early in the first couple days, I think, in this draft. I think there's some good mid-round guys, too, that would be serviceable. I mean, hell, the Colts, what, got Hairston in the fourth or fifth, something like that? He was not even expected to be much more than a special teams guy last year, so he definitely came up. Granted, he didn't have a ton to, you know, work against, but with his ability to play well in the slot, that was the ability to allow Butler to come back and work on the back end as a safety as well, almost exclusively last year. The Colts do need a big-time corner, whether it's in the slot, whether it's outside. I don't really care, but they need another quality corner. Quincy Wilson, we should be expecting massive things from this dude this year. I think that we all wanted to see him start a lot last year, and he didn't. And now that he's going to have another opportunity next year, he's probably coming. You have to think he comes in as the number one, number two guy. Pierre Desir right now is probably the other starter outside with Nate Hairston in the middle. I kind of like that right now, okay? Not as in I like it enough not to draft somebody, but I like it because that allows one premier guy to come in. Then you got Desir and Wilson maybe fighting over that number two spot. If he's not good enough, then you've got three guys fighting for the one and two spot. I think that's great. Maybe four guys, depending on what they want with Hairston. I think that this secondary could be solid next year, even with just one addition in the cornerback group. I'm not worried about it. I really am not. So I think that they've got a lot of depth. I don't think that they've got that playmaker extraordinaire type guy, pending what Quincy Wilson pulls out next year. But they need one, and there's some guys that they can get. I'd like to see them get one in the second round for sure, to be honest with you, if at all possible. So let's look at the rest of the front seven here. We'll get to the safeties here in a minute. But the Colts signed Anico Autry. Marcus Hunt is going to be kind of a tweener again. Came out of a 4-3 into a 3-4, excelled last year. Now he's back in a 4-3. What's going to happen with him? Very up in the air. We don't know. But he proved to be a good penetrator last year, and I think that that's something that the Colts like out of him and think that they can at least try him and move him around, maybe use him as a three-tech just for that. If he can be in there, they like his burst. They like that he can get off the ball and get into the backfield. They're going to try and use him there, even though he's a big dude, 6'8". I think that they – and he's 30. You know, he's going to be 31 this year. So I think that the Colts really just kind of are giving him the opportunity because I think he earned it last year. I don't think anybody can dispute that. So those guys, Anthony Johnson, and then on the interior, Henry Anderson, Calvin or Jonathan Calvin, Caron Reed, Hassan Ridgeway, Grover Stewart. They've also got Joey Mboo, Al Woods. So, I mean, they've got a solid interior or, you know, defensive line. Is Denico Autry a playmaker? He's really tough. I like the tape that I saw after of him after he got signed. I don't think he's a playmaker, though. You know, Marcus Hunt, what is he this year? We don't know. Anthony Johnson, we don't know very much about. Most of these guys, we don't. Henry Anderson's cutting weight, you know, to become more of the explosive guy, the guy that can penetrate. Jonathan or Calvin Reed and Ridgeway and Stewart, a lot is up in the air with them. They're 320, 330 pounds, a lot of them, and they've got to prove that they can be guys who can penetrate. Now, listed as outside linebackers, but aren't going to be in this system, are going to be Terrell Basham and Jabal Sheard. Those guys are both going to be defensive ends. Maybe some guys like Arthur Miley might even be a defensive end as well, as opposed to an outside linebacker in this. I think that it's possible John Simon could be as well in certain packages. Don't know. But the real issue here comes on interior, or exterior, I guess you could say, as far as where the need's at. Defensive end, pass rusher, however they're going to get their pass rush. They're going to get it from some outside linebacker help in a 4-3. Not a bunch of it, though. It's going to be primarily on the shoulders of the defensive ends. So you've got guys like Denico Autry. You've got guys like Terrell Basham, Jabal Sheard. That's not a bad base group, right? Do the Colts need more than one? I don't know. I think that might be what Chris Ballard's been doing, trying to get it to where they don't need multiple at any position. They could use it. It's not going to hurt anything, but he doesn't have that pressure on his shoulders to draft multiple players at the same position throughout this draft. That's a good idea. The one area that we'll get to here in a minute is the linebackers. We don't know anything about that group because it's just, I mean, it's a hodgepodge of different guys and probably guys who will be moved around to play in different packages. It's going to be a wild group. So with the rest of the outside linebackers, Josh Perry might be the only guy who's a legitimate outside linebacker in that group, aside from John Simon. We don't know. It's going to work in a 4-3. We don't know. We can expect it, but going to interior defensive linemen, I think the Colts need one. I think that they don't need one early. I think that the Colts can wait. Pass rusher, the Colts need one. I don't think they can wait, especially if they have an opportunity to get Chubb. I think that that's such a almost a home run pick. The Colts may try to get a guy in the second or third round that just kind of hangs out, that just gets, you know, drops a little bit. Kamiko Ture, he's been a guy who a lot of people are been talking about lately. But there's a bunch of guys that are going to be in that third and fourth round area. Late second, maybe third, something like that, probably more realistically. That the Colts could bring in and become some sort of a pass rusher. So both outside linebacker and defensive end. So that's interesting. The Colts are going to need one, front seven, any way you look at it, up front, and they're four. And that's okay. That's good. I mean, there's going to be some shuffling, but there's going to be some guys that fall off of this roster that most people may not expect to happen. We don't know what's going to happen with Al Woods yet. Joey Mboo's a little bit quicker option. He's a little bit lighter than Al Woods, and he's a lot younger. So maybe that ends up seeing Al Woods go bye-bye. Maybe they try to move One of the defensive tackles, more of as an interior guy like Grover Stewart and Son Ridgeway. Those guys may be even inside of a three tech working. So let's get into the linebackers. The Colts definitely need some help at linebacker. Right now, inside backer, they've got Jeremiah George, Jermaine Grace, Antonio Morrison, Darnell Sankey, and Anthony Walker. Walker was hurt last year, obviously, came back, ended up getting relegated to special teams for most of the second half of the year when he was there. Early in the season, he was getting some starting reps. But Jeremiah George is a guy who's really intriguing to me. I think that he could be used as an outside linebacker even because he's got the speed and he's got the pursuit ability. Jermaine Grace is another guy. They brought him in last year, a little lighter, and I think they're looking for that speed a year ahead. He's only a second-year player as well. Darnell Sankey was a guy who has the he's a heavier linebacker, but, man, that dude, he's really an instinctual player. I thought he was really good in coverage for as big as he is. And I thought he was one of those guys who was just a brutal tackler, good quality tackler, an actual wrap them up and drag them down tackler, where the Colts were struggling at that for a good part of the season last year. And I think that that's something that we can't really deny, is that the Colts need a good tackler, even if it's not the speediest guy, even if it's not the best coverage guy. They've got to have a guy who can be out there and actually play any kind of a play. I mean, he can defend anything. And I think that Darnell Sankey's a guy who's going to earn himself some serious time on the active roster this year because of it. What are they going to do with Antonio Morrison? I don't know, because he proved again last year that, you know, you're on your last leg. I think he's just too athletic and too talented. They see his ceiling is too high to whether they're not going to let go of him early. He might be a camp cut. In fact, I think that's quite a possibility, but they've got some other issues there. And like I said, they added Tyrell Adams and Najee Good. Those two guys both are in that 6 foot, 6'2" range, 230 to 245. A little, you know, Good, it's 28, but he's got some quality experience behind him. So outside of that, like I said, the Josh Perry, he might be the only legitimate outside linebacker that actually is put in the outside linebacker category right now. But the Colts need that lockdown inside guy who can kill it between the tackles and stop the run, but who can also pursue, who can cover, who can be a pass rusher. I think that the Colts couldn't go wrong with Roquan Smith, Rashawn Evans. They can't go wrong, in my opinion, with Tremaine Edmonds. There's some more guys further back in the draft that I think that are going to be good possibilities there. A guy that, you know, we talked to the other day was Jannard Avery. He's a guy with a ton of talent. I like Tigre Scales a lot more than most people do. But there's going to be some guys in this linebacking group in this draft who can come in and make a big difference. I mean, actually, I don't know about other than those top three guys actually being difference makers, but they're going to be guys who have the opportunity and have the ability to be that eventually. I don't think that they're coming in their year one guys to do that. I think Colts don't get one of those top three guys, they're not going to get difference maker type play from that. But this isn't a 1 year rebuild, but this is showing us that we do have some depth. The outside linebacker actually might be a bigger need than inside linebacker, as far as to find one, not necessarily to draft one. And I mean, let me put this into what, you know, a better, wrapping here. If Jeremiah George is a quality outside linebacker by the time they do this, if Darnell Sankey's a quality outside linebacker by the time the season rolls around, then the Colts don't need an outside linebacker. The Colts desperately need an inside linebacker as the guy, right? But in terms of numbers, outside linebacker is pretty bare unless one of these guys is going to move out. And, I mean, other side from John Simon. And I think that we really don't know what John Simon's going to be. That's kind of the issue. I think that he's much more of an outside linebacker than he is a defensive end, but at the same time, you know, he's got some potential in either way. So let's move off of that. But the Colts have some linebacker needs without question. There's just no two ways about it. So let's finish this bad boy up with the safeties. The Colts at safety right now are Mathias Farley, Clayton Gethers, TJ Green, Malik Hooker, and Ronald Martin. I think that there's a lot to like in that safety room. I mean, man, guys, how many times have we talked about TJ Green? 6'3", 210, speed, length. I mean, he has every measurable and everything physically that you could want from another safety. He's just a bad decision maker, and he's not technical at all. I mean, the dude does not – I don't think he's fundamental in any way. Mathias Farley, on the other hand, doesn't have quite the athletic profile, but he is a hell of a brainy player. Smart, takes the right angles, opportunistic, makes some plays because of it, you know, whereas TJ Green has all the skills in the world, and he's constantly out of position. I mean – we don't know. What is he going to do? They try not to waste athleticism, but, I mean, he's wasting his athleticism by not becoming, you know, a guy that plays with his mind. So, Clayton Gethers, on the other hand, Malik Hooker, that's one and two right there in my book. Those two guys, both 6'2", both of them over 210. Gethers a little heavier now, 220. But those two right now are the one and two safeties. Both can cover, both can hit. I mean, people, one of Hooker's knocks coming out of the draft last year is he wasn't a physical dude. He's not an overly physical dude, but I mean, he sure as hell didn't shy away from playing football last year, right? So I like what we have in Hooker. I like the ability for him to sit out on the top, and I like the ability for Gethers to be able to cover the tight ends, to be able to be another pass rusher, even as another linebacker and invert. And I think that you've got a lot of potential at this safety position. I think if TJ Green's gone, I think Ronald Martin is every bit the player, if not more, than Gethers. He's not that got speed. He's built almost exactly like Clayton Gethers. But I'm not worried about the safety position at all right now. As long as the Colts and Clayton Gethers can agree that he is totally fine, the Colts are good at safety, in my opinion, because they've got youth. They don't have anybody older than 25 in the safety group at all. They've got a lot of guys, Notre Dame, Central Florida, Clemson, Ohio State, and LSU, all in the safety group. That doesn't mean anything because a lot of those, I mean, but you understand what I'm saying. You've got some seasoned guys there. You've got good ball players at safety. I think the Colts are in good shape. They've got physical and they've got coverage. I think they're good. So we did kind of forget the tight end group. That's my bad. We'll circle back and just do that right now. But kind of out of order here, this tight end group for the Colts, Mo Alie-Cox, long-term projection. We don't know what, if anything, he's got. Darn it, Darryl Daniels proved that he could play last year, that he could be on the team more or less. I think that he's a guy who's definitely a camp watch. Jack Doyle, you know, we know what he brings every single snap. Eric Ebron, going to add some dynamic to that offense, not a lot to the blocking part of that. Eric Swoop, bigger, stronger last year than he was, got hurt, but he was much bigger. I mean, you see him with Brandon Williams next to each other, and, you know, Eric Swoop was the one teaching Brandon Williams. Brandon Williams had been in the game longer. Eric Swoop was a projection at one time, guys. I think Eric Swoop is a guy who can continue to play, continue to be a guy that they can pursue as both, you know, a guy out of the backfield, possibly depending on if his blocking can get just a little bit more authentic, I guess you could say, as a legitimate blocker. And he can be used both as a blocker and as a guy who can bust the seam. He proved that he could run the wheel route as good as anybody and leave a linebacker behind. But they've also got a guy, or a couple guys, I guess, Jason Vanderlaan and Ross Travis. Ross Travis is the guy that I really like. All young guys, again, in this. And, I mean, 27 is the oldest tight end, and that's Jack Doyle. He's not a speed guy, though. He's a guy that can do it all. He's the guy who can kind of do everything, the monkey wrench. So, I mean, looking at Swoop, looking at Travis, looking at Ebron, those are my guys right now that are going to be on the team outside of, you know, Jack Doyle. Travis Ross, I really want to see him in camp. I can't wait to see him in camp. He's so long. He runs a lot of routes for a tight end. He can block, not great, but he can also threaten the seam just in pure length, and he's got enough speed. I think that they like what he brings with that height. with the speed, because he's significantly lighter even. I mean, he's almost 30 pounds lighter than Jack Doyle. So that's, I mean, you're talking about the same height and thinner and leaner. I think that he's kind of that guy that they see across the middle as some of, you know, the other guys. You know, what Kansas City did, what Philadelphia has been doing, what even the Chargers, for that matter, have done in the past with a big tight end who can catch, run, and do it all. So I think that that's an interesting group as well. But other than that, you know, that's kind of what I don't think that the Colts need to mess with anything in the draft at tight end. Will they? Maybe. Is it necessary? No, I don't. I mean, it's not necessary. It's not something they have to do. But I think that the Colts could get by for sure without messing with the tight end group out of the draft. Definitely needed a linebacker, whether you look at it inside, outside, however you want to, you know, parse that. The Colts definitely need an offensive lineman. The Colts definitely need a corner. The Colts definitely need, you know, a running back. So other than that, I mean, you're kind of playing with, you know, whatever is given to you outside of that. I think that we'll see Chris Ballard try to take advantage of getting more picks. This opens up another theory, another thought process on the draft that we're going to discuss here in the coming days. You know, the trading back, getting out of six, a lot of people are hating the thought of that because they really understand the premier player type thought process to Chris Ballard's approach. I do too. I think you should understand. I think it's, I mean, it only makes sense. But at the same time, you also have to assume and think about that could be another two picks this year in a really pretty decent front loaded draft with 3-4 solid rounds of good players. Some really good players in the first round, I think, and maybe even the top of the second, and some, you know, some really good supplementary players out of the third and fourth rounds. So, you know, if Chris Ballard wants to attack it and get some more, you know, some more picks out of it, then I think we have to be on board with that. And even then, he opens up the possibility of getting even more, you know, maybe doubling up on the edge, doubling up as a line on linebackers, doubling up on running backs, corners. We don't know, you know, but the opportunity is there. We've got 9 picks already. Get another one. That might make the difference, guys, this year. And to kind of smooth this out for both sides of the ball, I think that the Colts are in pretty good shape. I don't think that the Colts roster is depleted as nationally, locally, even sometimes it's perceived to be. They've got a lot of depth right now. Not experienced depth, but they've got theoretical depth, I guess you could say. They've got some guys who have proven that they can do what the Colts are going to want them to do in the new systems on both sides of the ball. So do the Colts need a bunch of guys? Not a bunch. This is a process that's expected to take, you know, on to the 2019 season. So you have to assume if they get a real playmaker on the defense and they get a real shutdown lineman, offensive lineman out of this, that could be a massive difference right there. Now, if you add to that a quality coverage corner who can play in zones, who can also play up in man, then you open up so many doors for this defense to not only be solid, but succeed and be better than we expect them to be. Andrew Luck covers up a lot of crap on offense. Can they block for him? If they do, the running backs will look better. Luck will look better. Receivers will look better, regardless of who they go after or don't go after. Like I said, I'm cool with them pushing the wide receiver group back into the late rounds of the draft. So, I mean, I don't think there's a ton of need. I think there's a lot of want, and I think there's a couple needs, desperate needs, that the Colts have to figure out this year in order to be competitive, in order to take that next step as a legitimate football team. Titans, Jaguars, Texans, those guys have all got quarterbacks or, you know, the supporting cast on defense. They've got legitimate playmakers in some senses, and they're going to be tough outs in the future. So the Colts have to make some strides this year, and they've got to make some strides in the next couple years to not only get to being competitive within the division, but to be a legit AFC contender. So I think that the Colts have a lot to work for, but I don't think that the Colts are as bad structurally on the roster as a lot of people perceive them to be. So thank you guys for hanging out with me tonight. We've got some great news. Wait, don't go away yet. We are going to be hosting a live show at Metazoa Brewery there in Indianapolis on the 27th, day two, rounds two and three. And it's going to be exciting. Myself, Jake Arthur, Brett Mock, Jared Malott, we're going to be there live. We're going to be doing the mock. We're going to be covering it. We're going to probably start around 6:30. We're going to cover the day, the first round, talk about what the Colts did, talk about what some of the other teams in the AFC did, AFC South especially. And then we're going to go on and we're going to cover the rest of the draft for the second day with the second and third rounds. So this is going to be exciting. It's going to be a lot of fun. Metazoa Brewing Company, excellent, excellent place. We're excited to go to be a part of this and to do this live. So we're going to be there. We hope that you guys will join us. Make sure you do. We'll have details to follow here in the coming days, but I wanted to put out there, it's exciting for us to be able to do that. Hope that you guys will come join us there in Indianapolis. We'll talk to you guys next time right here on the Colts Cast. Talking about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route.